The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to episode 82 of the Sand Geeks podcast. Now, before I talk even about our sponsors, I just want to give you a little heads up that I've actually had the lurgies this week. So you might hear me sniffing or coughing, or I might sound a little bit more bunged up than usual. So that is why I do apologise. Later on in the edit, I'll try and remove any sniffs and coughs and things, but if they do creep in, please forgive me, and that might be why I'm sounding a little bit different this week. But anyway, this podcast is proudly sponsored by Kajal Perfumes. You can go over to their website, kajalperfumes.com, and use the code GEEKS10 and get 10% off your order, and they deliver pretty much everywhere, as far as I know, and they hold good stock levels, so the lead times are really good, so go and check them out. Now, as you know, I am not a one-man band. I have a podcast buddy that joins me every week, and he's here again this week. He's got a YouTube channel called Fragmental. He's got an Instagram handle with the same name. He's got over 50,000 subscribers. He's an absolute Fragcom legend. So I'm proud to be joined by Chris from Fragmental. Chris, how you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm all good. Am I supposed to be here, actually? Maybe we've done a mistake.
Hold on. I mean, you're not Chris. No, what's going on?
Well, my name is Clémence, but I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here.
Oh, no. There's been a cock-up. This is a scheduling issue here.
Okay. Well, I guess I can be here.
I suppose you'll do for the time being, if that's all right. If you don't mind sitting there and talking to me, we'll have to make do with you. Is that okay?
Well, I think that's okay. As long as it's okay for you to talk to me and understand my French accent, I think it's fine.
I'll try. The last time you were a guest on this podcast, you said you struggled to understand me. So
yeah, that's true. I'm actually quite stressed. I'm like, oh my god, I hope I'm going to understand everything that he's going to say.
So do I need to speak really slowly just to make sure?
Yeah,
that
just
you can
imagine
sort of
I'm a kid and go very slow.
I will try. Of course, Chris is away this week yet again because he is like fucking Judith Chalmers and he's always travelling and away with family, which is fair play to him. He's spending some quality family time. So we didn't want to miss another episode because we missed a few recently. So Clémence sort of very kindly agreed to sort of sub in for Chris and join me on this week's episode. So big thanks to her. You can obviously check out her YouTube channel, which is Clémence CC Fragrance. And you've got Instagram as well, with the same handle, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly the same.
I think we discussed this last time. I think we asked you which you prefer, and you sort of said you like elements of both, don't you, really?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think both of the social media have things good, you know? Like, I like the fact that Instagram is all about pictures and things like all about aesthetic, and YouTube is a bit more natural to me. Like, I can put some vlog and things like that, you know, you can get to know people more closely. I don't know what you think about it, but for me it's the...
Yeah, but you do quite a lot of fun things on your Instagram, like you do little fun videos and stuff, don't you?
So, yeah, I started to do a lot of like little quick video, like reels and stuff, like just because I just find it really funny to do, and it gives like a little bit less seriousness to the thing, which I think is needed.
Yeah, it's fun, it's nice, I like it. It sort of shows it's quite an endearing thing as well, because also I'm sure there's a lot of women wouldn't, but you actually show yourself like before and after makeup. You like do makeup, little makeup tutorial things as well, so I'm sure a lot of women kind of wouldn't necessarily sort of show themselves without makeup on social media when they've got as many followers as you have, so I'm quite brave as well, to be fair.
Oh well, thank you very much, I appreciate
not of course that you need it. I'm sure you're beautiful without makeup. Okay, I'm digging myself a hole,
but just like you, Steve, when can we expect some beauty tutorial from you?
What not to look like might be the thing on that one.
Aww.
But anyway, we're transatlantic, well, not transatlantic, we're sort of transnational. Transnational. We're in different countries is what I'm trying to say. So where are you currently located?
So I'm in Brittany, so it's in the south of France. That's where I used to live before going to London. So I'm spending like a week in there, but before I was in Paris, in the north of France. I've been moving quite a lot, and now I'm in my holiday house. It's by the beach, so I'm just enjoying the sun, the beach, doing nothing. It's really nice.
And what's amusing, we did a little test earlier, and your internet is better like in a different country than it is in London.
Do you know what? I don't want to hear that at all.
Also, I'm sure all our listeners that remember you from last time are desperate to hear an update. So what's, you know, any news on the hot guy that lives above you that stole your internet? Is there?
Yeah, do you know what happened actually? It's so funny. Like, I don't know why those things happened to me. So last time we had a little electricity problem in my building. Everything shut down. And I was taking my shower, and in the shower I can hear someone knocking at the door, and I'm like, what the fuck is this again? So I'm just going out. I had shampoo in my hair, mascara all over my little face, and I'm opening the door, and there's this guy here, and I'm like, oh, jeez. Like, last time I was like bare face, no makeup, like honestly not really nice to look at. And this time, like, I had shampoo in my hair. I was just with my towel, and I was like, oh, hi.
I bet he's still jackpot. She's just answered the door in a towel.
It was just like, do you want me to leave you take the rest of your shower? I was like, oh, no, that's fine. Go on.
So has it progressed? This is like a little Fragcom love story that we're all interested in now. Have you?
No, it didn't progress. To be honest, like, I'm a little bit of a bear in a cave. Like, I'm not making any effort. That's my fault.
I mean, he lives above you. Like, you couldn't make much less effort. I mean, you've got to walk, what, 10 steps to go to see him. Surely you can.
I know, but like, Steve, like, are you really like knocking at the door of your neighbor, like, oh, hello, do you have some milk?
Well, yeah, what was he actually knocking for? Was it for milk or something?
No, he was asking like if I had some electricity or not, which I was like, I don't know, I was in the shower.
Okay, fair enough. So I that's it. He probably cut off the electricity just as an excuse to come and knock on your door. You do realise this?
I don't think so. You know, like, listen, like, I was not really on my best outfit, like, the two times, so I don't think so.
He's like, you answer the door, he's like, whoa, is Clemence here? Or is that like,
moved. Like, I should have said like, oh yeah, the French one, she moved 2 months ago. Yeah. Don't know who's that.
Should have done your best English accent to try and fool him.
Oh, stop.
Talking about your name, actually, do you get, should I be pronouncing it Clemence, like with a nice French accent, or do you get a lot of Clemence? Do you care? Are you bothered?
Oh, I don't care. I think it's nice to hear it anglicized as well, like Clemence. Like, people call me like that at work. Usually most people, because they can't pronounce it really well, they say just Clem, which is totally fine. So yeah, I'm not, you know, normally you would say Clémence, but honestly, the only person that called me Clémence is my dad when he's really upset. So I wouldn't mind if you call me Clemence or Clem.
Okay, I'll remember that. It's actually a really nice name, however you pronounce it, to be fair. It's one of the, even when you say it in an English way, it's still a nice name. It's not. It doesn't sound like it's been ruined too much.
That's very nice to say, Steve. You've got a nice name too.
Oh, hardly. I guess my name would be Stéphane, wouldn't it?
It's funny. It's France. It's the name of my dad, Stéphane.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There we go. Make you feel comfortable, feel like you're at home.
Obviously.
I suppose we should talk about fragrances and stuff like that.
I think we should. Yeah, that's the purpose of this podcast, no?
I've got a sort of question for you. Huh? So I was ill this week. I had the Lurgies, and to be fair, I wasn't 100% sure, so I went and got, my wife did as well, a PCR COVID test, but it was all negative. So it turns out I've just got like, had a bit of a sort of viral cold thing. So my question for you is, so the other day I wanted to wear fragrance, but I didn't want anything too heavy. So one of the fragrances I wore this week was Boss Bottle Tonic, which is just a really clean, light, soapy frag. I normally wear it to the gym or maybe in the evening post shower, just as something sort of just clean, just to sit in on the sofa with. And then today I was a little bit better but still a bit unwell, so I went for something a bit more comforting. So I went for Spice Bomb by Victor and Rolf, which I really enjoy. I just find it just that sweet bubblegumness, I find it really comforting. So here's my question, what fragrance do you wear, or would you wear would you wear any if you were ill? Like, what would you wear that would, maybe it's not too heavy, or would you find something, a fragrance that's quite comforting, or just something that's a bit lighter? What if you were a bit poorly, would you still wear a fragrance, and what would you wear?
Yeah, I would wear still a fragrance. I would go a bit like you, like something comforting. I actually was thinking, talking about Spice Bomb, something that quite is in the same vibe is Rehab from Inisho. I find it very cloudy, comforting, and it's got that very spicy vibe as well, like Spice Bomb. And often people compare them as well. Well, I find it slightly different to me because it's more cocooning, I feel, Rehab, but I would wear something like that. Or my grandmother always raised me like this. Every time we were sick or things like that, we would spray some real eau de cologne, you know, the proper one, like from 4711. So just a very fresh cologne, and it's usually is really good for the nose and everything to help you breathing and relax. So I would just wear something very juicy like this, or slightly aromatic to distress me and calm me, but nothing too strong, nothing very extremely warm, a thing like that. No, like I would go very, very low with the fragrance.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wanted to wear something, but I just didn't want anything too heavy or that, you know, that could be a bit choking or cloying. I didn't want anything like that. So would you wear something similar to like the gym? I don't know if you've got a gym routine, would you wear something similar in that sort of scenario? Or have you got a gym frag that you would reach for quite regularly?
Yeah, so I'm going to the gym at the moment, like every 2 days. Well, not on holiday. So I'm changing quite often, but I really enjoy anything like very citrusy and very tonic. So last time I wore Floris Neroli Voyage. So that's a very marine neroli, like very juicy and fresh but still not heady. I wore Haze from Aaron Serenzugs. I don't know if you've tried this one. It was one of his new fragrances. I find it really, really nice. It's a citrus fragrance, but it always got like a lot of depth and darkness, and I don't know why. I really enjoy it for the gym as well. So anything like this, like very fresh and juicy. But yeah, I can't go to the gym without a gym scent. I don't know why. I don't know who I have to impress over there, but
no, I know. I'd like to wear something, but then conversely, I'm always conscious. I don't want to be the guy that's like choking somebody out when they're trying to exercise. Do you know what I mean? Where you just walk past this big plume of like fumes.
Do you wear something?
I do. I it depends what it is. I would normally go for something like fresh, either like Boss Bottle Tonic, or I'm trying to think what other ones I sometimes reach for the gym. Normally, like the sort of citrusy, fresh kind of summer type frags that are kind of a bit sort of, but I just make sure I don't go too heavy, like literally a couple of sprays, just so because I just don't want to choke anybody out. It's just it's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not very nice.
I don't know why, when you was talking about a citrusy fragrance with some depth, I started thinking about what's that one? It's fucking gone from my head now. I'm going to think of it. There's one that's got orange and leather in it that I really
orange
enjoy.
Orange and leather.
It's from, what's the house? Oh, it's going to annoy me now. I'll think of it in a minute. But it's one I actually, Blood Orange from, Amazon Shoes has got one called that, but it's something else. No,
I think I've got it as well.
I'm going to have to try and find out now. Here comes Google.
Yeah. I can remember. I'm not too sure.
It's like a test, isn't it? I was talking to Chris last week, actually, after we finished recording, because I had a couple of like moments where I went blank, and I said to him, I was like, Christ, I'm losing my mind. Like, I'm really struggling to like think of like remember fragrance. I can picture them, and I can picture bottles. I think it's because I'm quite a visual kind of person.
Yeah.
So I can picture the things, but then I can never remember the name. Like, it's annoying.
I'm a bit the same as you as well. I've got a lot of fragrance in my mind, but I never can find the name.
Shea and Blue, Blood Oranges, is what Shea I was thinking and Blue. Of.
Yeah, I've smelled that before. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's like, I wouldn't have thought it would work, but because it's got like this real natural orange.
Yeah.
It's really like nice, natural, kind of zesty orange, but with leather as well. So it's kind of like, it's a bit of a, you'd think they wouldn't necessarily work, but they actually complement each other quite well. So
I love to bring like some citrus, lemony or juicy like this to leather. It always really balanced really well in fragrances. I love that.
Well, I remember when you were on last time, one of the top tips that you gave us is we spoke about layering, and one of the things that you said about layering is actually you need to layer two somewhat contrasting fragrances. You don't want to go like something heavy and heavy. You need to like balance it out a little bit. So
yeah.
And some people think that actually not to do that because they would work against each other. But you was actually saying, no, if you get the right fragrances, they'll work with each other and sort of meet in the middle and they'll complement each other quite nicely. So that was quite a good tip from last time.
Yeah, totally. Exactly that. I couldn't say
so
better.
There we go. Right. So what we're going to do now is we'll do the Kofi section. So this is our audience recognition section, which is ARS or ARS for short. So we do like to see who's in the ARS. And in fact, after your last appearance of the podcast, you were getting a lot of love in the ARS, actually, Clem. So,
lovely. So
I don't know how you feel about love in the ARS, but that it worked. You were getting a lot of it last time, so that was good.
Enjoying it, amazing.
Right, enough smut. So we've had a couple of donations. So Johnny did two donations this week, and one of them was like really generous as well, and then he sent another one with another question. So let's go and see him. So don't forget, guys, you can support the podcast. It goes towards our hosting fees and things if you go to ko-fi.com/thescentgeeks, all one word. Anyway, Johnny says, another round on me. I have a fragrance fail for you today. I was recently at a wedding, cold indoor wedding, so I felt safe enough for my favourite Tuscan leather. My assumption was dead wrong, and I heard about it for the entire evening. And then he said, what frags did you two rock on your special day? So I think everybody... I should have messaged Chris. I was planning on messaging him, actually, just so I could answer this question. But everybody knows I wore Armani Diamonds on my wedding day.
Lovely.
Now, you're unmarried.
No.
Yeah. So what would you wear... I think we probably asked you this last time, but if you were going on a date, like a really big important date, what would be your sort of frag that you would reach for?
Well, I would go for anything like very oriental or ambery fragrance. It's really my type because I find always amber have got this mysterious characteristic. You know, it's with a bit of incense, it gives that vibe that, okay, you can't really catch it, you know. I really like that. It's sexy, but also some kind of class. So I would go for my classic Grand Soir from Maison Francis Coeur de Jean, or, you know, like at the moment, I really love Ambre Cello from L'Orchestre Parfum. This is like a French niche brand. Their amber is just divine. It's their new fragrance. Oh my God, I would definitely wear that. But actually, like talking about wedding day, I actually know what fragrance I'm going to wear on my special day if I've got one someday.
Oh, wow. What is it then? What is it?
I'm going to wear...
I was going to say, are you going to keep it secret so people don't steal it? But go on, tell us what it is.
No. We'll say it. It's fine. It would be definitely a florist again, and it would be the Bouquet de la Reine. It's a very classic fragrance, so slightly vintage, like you smelled before, but it's very pure. It's white flowers. I don't want something overpowering. I don't want something sexy. I don't want to, you know, be sensual or stuff like that. I want something ultra pure, white, that fresh bouquet of flower, not invasive. That's for me the idea of a wedding, you know, like this idea of purity. Totally. So there we go.
Because I think the reason, I don't know if this is a myth or whatever, but I think the reason that women have flowers on their wedding day, it goes back to hundreds of years ago when basically they would hold the flowers to cover the stench because people basically didn't really have the same hygiene back then. So I think they had the flowers to try and make them smell nice. That's why they held the flowers to try and sort of... make them smell nice on their wedding day. That was
That's
what the
horrible.
Flowers were for. So I think, I mean, I might have just completely made that up, but I swear I've heard that somewhere. I think that's what they originate from, but I'm sure somebody's going to correct me in our Facebook group or something.
But you know, like, it makes sense because last week, I've been to a castle that is creating a lot of fragrances. It's like a museum of fragrances. And there was a tour guide, and the guide was saying that back in the days, you know, they used to wear a lot of flowers or in their pocket just to give the appearance that they were smelling nice, but they weren't. So probably it's true.
Well, there you go then. That's it. You mentioned amber there a couple of times in the fragrances for a date. Is amber one of your favorite notes, would you say? Or
100%. Yeah, 100%. I just love that. It always gives me that oriental vibe. I think it suits me well. I like the character of it. I don't think if it's nicely done, nicely balanced, it's not super heady. So any amber fragrance, I'm always on the hunt for it.
Okay. And same on a guy. Would you like a guy to wear like amber fragrances as well? Or?
Oh, yes. I love that.
There you go. All the guys are like, "Ooh, if I ever bump into, if there's ever some sort of FragCon meetup, all the guys are going to be wearing like amber fragrances when they come." Oh, meet you.
Yeah, 100%. Like anything that is slightly oriental, you know, like vanilla, oud when it's not animalic, or you know, things like that. Incense, amber are for me on men. I just love it. I think it's so, so sexy, so attractive.
And is there a note, rather than a fragrance, is there a note on a man that you would just be like, no, you just is a turn off?
No.
Or is it just depends on the fragrance? And
I think it depends.
Work,
yeah, it depends on the personality of the guy as well. Like if it's matching well, you know, the person, I don't think there's a note. And you know, like I think for me, every note smells really nice. It's just the way the perfumer treated the balance of the fragrance overall. But you know, of course, like if the guy is wearing pure castoreum oil, you know, like very skunky, maybe not.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, that's fine. How about you on a woman?
Oh, we've mentioned this 100 times. I think we mentioned it on our podcast last week. But I love Montblanc Intense is one of my favorite female fragrances. I love that on my wife. But then a lot of the ones I also like have some sort of scent memories associated. So she used to wear like Armani Code back in the day. So I sort of quite like that. So I quite like sort of on women sweet florals, but nothing that I would say that goes into girly, if you know what I mean. So I like it to be feminine, in inverted commas, because obviously anybody can wear anything. So I like it to be relatively feminine, and I'd like it to have some depth or some richness to it, but I don't want it to go into the girly. If it's too cheap and sweet and cloying, then
I see what you mean. I'm wondering what you would think of a woman wearing some very masculine fragrance, like, you know, I love my Creed Royal Oud, so I'm wondering what you would think of that.
But then it's interesting, because I think it's, I mean, obviously it depends how it depends on the person, obviously skin chemistry, but also how they wear it, and also, do you think there is also an element of if you found somebody attractive, I think there could be, like, a smell could turn you off without a doubt, but conversely it would make you like that scent more as well if you like that person. I think you'll probably be more forgiving if you fancy them. I don't know.
Definitely. Yeah. That's a matter of chemistry as well with fragrance. Yeah. So yeah, for sure. 100%.
Right, we've got another one in our coffees. So Nick has said, forget a coffee, here's a glass of bubbly each to celebrate Lux Parfum, which is Chris's new website where you can buy some niche fragrances. Smolder, which is Chris's new fragrance release as well that he's done with Antonio's Hughes. And I feel like he's had to throw something my way. So he said, and Steve's new shed. So I feel like that's a bit... So I built a new shed a few weeks ago, which is one of the reasons why we missed an episode. So... So I feel like that's a bit shit on my part. Chris has got a new website, a new fragrance. Oh yeah, and Steve's shed.
Well, I hope for you it's a nice shed.
It is a nice, I did a good job, and it's a nice shed. Anyway, happy days around. Keep up the good work, chaps, and thanks for getting us all through another Monday. So shout out to Nick. He's a big supporter of the podcast. And there is talk of us potentially doing, or we've sort of mulling the idea of doing a live podcast at one point. Nick may help us with a venue. So yeah, it's all an idea at this stage, but who knows. Jason says, he bought us a coffee. Love the podcast. I was wondering if you guys could give your thoughts on collections and when is enough. I often go through my bottles and get upset at myself for not wearing certain ones. How do you manage this? How many fragrances have you got, do you know, Clem?
I think I've got around 400-500. I'm not too sure.
Days. Yeah. And that's full bottles, or is that include decants and all sorts?
No, full bottles.
Shit in hell.
Why? How many do you have?
Well, I'm trying to get them down. So I basically fragrances are all sort of ranked. So I've basically got two shelves in my cupboard, and if a fragrance makes it into that shelf, that's like a keeper, that's in my collection. And then I've got a lot of travel sizes, decants, some clones that haven't quite made it into that shelf, so I keep them either like in some drawers in my office, or there's a little shelf as well. So I'd say the ones on my two shelves in my cupboard, I've got about 70 80. And then with all the others, including all the others, it's probably like up to about, I don't know, 150, D-ish, but I'm really trying to get them down. I'm trying to... So I'm really strict now. Back in the day, if I bought a fragrance and it was like a 7 out of 10, I'd keep it. But now if it's a 7, even an 8 out of 10, I think, will I wear this when I've got 9 and 10 out of 10 fragrances?
Do you know, like, I've got a lot of respect for people like you that are doing that. I'm incapable of making a choice and getting rid of any single fragrance. It's a disease, honestly.
It is genuinely, we've talked about addiction before, but it is something that you have to sort of be careful of, isn't it?
It's just, you know, like, I've got, and it's the same in my family, I've got a personality of a collector. I like to collect things, and it's, I collect other stuff than fragrances, and I don't know, I like to collect those things and I can't really throw them away. And with fragrances the same, I really like to just see them, looking at them. It sounds very weird. So but yeah, normally, like, you should probably, like, you know, if you're upset about yourself, like I can't remember his name is saying, probably you
Jason,
just need,
yeah
you probably need to, you know, at some point make a list, like you're doing, of what you're really enjoying, what you're wearing, and, you know, get rid of what you don't like. But, you know, other than that, like, you can be like me, like, just looking at it and be like, oh yeah, that's nice, nice collection.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I'd say to you, Jason, is almost, you could score them out of 10, but just think, like, am I going to wear this fragrance, or is it going to sit there collecting dust? If not, like, flip it and let somebody else wear it, get a bit of money back. You're still going to lose some money, but not as much as you would lose keeping the bottle sitting there with it not being worn. So,
agree.
So that's what I'd say. It's interesting, because I wouldn't say I've got a addictive personality. I'd say I've got an obsessive personality.
Oh.
Like, if I get into a hobby or something, I get into it, do you know what I mean? And that's probably where the sort of the collection side comes from. Like, here's a question. What other things do you collect, or what other things would you collect if you had more time and you weren't so much into fragrances?
Well, I collect, if not fragrances, I collect a lot of Baroque and vintage stuff in my house. Well, I love vintage fragrances, but, like, I collect, like, frames, like golden frames with ornaments, any painting as well that looks very old-fashioned, a Victorian kind of look. I'm collecting all of that. I've got, like, you know, some old phones as well that you would never see now. Anything that is really, really old, like, I feel there's a lot of history behind the object, so I'm collecting a lot of stuff.
Well, I mean, you need to find yourself, if you ever find a man, you need to find someone that's really old, don't you? So it just fits in with your
There's an age limit, but I'm open-minded, okay?
some old bastard's going to walk into your place and be like, wow, it's like I'm back in my youth. This is brilliant. This is like... I feel like I'm 20 again. It's excellent.
Yeah, probably. I'm not living in the good century, I think.
No, it's good that if you find something that you like and you enjoy it, then enjoy it. I think I could easily collect like watches. I'm not as into watches as some. There's a lot of other frag collectors that are into watches as well, but I do like watches. I've got about 6 or 7. I was looking at them today, actually, online.
That's good.
So I've got a few. So I make sure I don't collect, but I like them for the look as well, because I like to look at them and they go with the sort of outfit. It's almost like a fragrance. It sort of finishes off a look sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I literally wore a watch the other day where the battery was dead, and I said to the wife, I was like, the battery's dead in this watch, but I'm wearing it anyway because I want to, because it looks good. And she's like, well, you've got a million others, why don't you wear ones that the battery's not dead? I say, yeah, but I look at my phone for the time, I don't look at a watch for the time. That's how it looks.
That's true though, like, who is watching their watch to watch the time nowadays?
No, you just look at your phone, don't you?
Absolutely.
And I would also probably, if I was, like, rich, I would probably be like some of these hip-hop stars, and I'd probably have, like, a little room full of trainers or sneakers in it, as they are in America. Because I quite like trainers and kind of footwear, so I would probably have different trainers or different sneakers for different outfits.
You never know, Steve,
like,
when you'll be a superstar in, like, 5 years' time, you'll be, like, you'll have a full closet full of, like, your trainers and your watches.
Yeah, that's the dream. One day.
I'm sure.
I missed one here, actually, because Johnny sent us another Ko-fi a couple of days later, and he said a secondary donation. And then this is a good question. I think you'll have a good answer to this, Clem. What fragrance, regardless of price, would you guys recommend? I recently watched Steve's Le Gemme Tiger video, and I know Chris loves his Enigma. Just curious. So is there a fragrance that you would... recommend regardless of the price, but also, is there a fragrance that you would recommend, like maybe you wouldn't recommend if you factored in the price because it might not be worth that money, but then it does smell really good, so if it was cheaper you would recommend it, if you see what I mean?
I've been testing few Roja at the moment, so it's quite expensive.
And very expensive.
Yeah, and there's one that I'm absolutely addicted, like especially for summer. It's called a Midsummer Dream. I don't know if you tried that before.
No, never.
It's like very aromatic, fresh, slightly citrusy, but you know, it's basically you spray that, it's like you're walking through an aromatic garden. It's so soothing, but it's not simple, it's quite complex. Like when you wear it, it moves around you. Like I sprayed it once in the morning, and in evening I could smell it like right on me, which is very rare for an aromatic fragrance, and it's just stunning. And I think there's a little bit of incense as well. It's like a bit like mysterious vibe. It's just, you know, like I would purchase that all my life. Like even the price is like really high, I would still purchase that. So definitely.
Okay, good call. I think I would go for Zaire by Byron Parfums. That was, it's a limited edition run. I don't know if it's you can still buy them. I know in the US, Crystal Fragrances have got them, I think. I'm just having a look now. Yeah, Crystal Fragrance has got it, and you can buy it through their Etsy store still. That is like £250-ish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it smells amazing. But the word I would use, I remember when I reviewed it, it just smells really opulent. It smells really luxurious. But I just couldn't justify that price, so I couldn't recommend it for the price. But the fragrance I'd totally recommend.
It's difficult. Yeah. Like I've done a video recently on Fragrance Dubois, and you know, like their fragrance, the Pure Parfum, and that's the one I've tried, or like 450, 600 and something. There's some that I was like, yeah, would buy that. Like Oud Bleu Intense, for example. I'm loving that so much. But there's other one in the range, I'm like, ooh, not too sure. You know, I would purchase that. Like there's some rosewood in their collection that are super amazing, but again, I'm not too sure I can justify that price sometimes, you know.
What is the most you've ever paid for a fragrance that we are you willing to say?
Or? Yeah, no problem. I didn't spend like a crazy amount, because like the most expensive bottle I've got probably of Roja. So I've bought one Roja, like I think 200 or something. So, and some Killians as well, 280 something. I've bought one, like a big bottle, Straight to Heaven. But it was a big bottle, and that was really expensive, but I'm just loving it so much. So I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm just gonna get it. And then I went home and I was like, oh my God, like how can I spend that money?
That's the thing. It's like you can get caught up in the moment. So sometimes it's like you get swept up and you get a bit excited and you buy it. But then when you sort of have that moment of reality where you start, like, you get home and then you see, you know, you've got, I don't know, electricity bill or water bill or whatever, and you think, bloody hell, or like you think, I could have bought a week's shopping for that or whatever, like food shop or something. It's just like, oh God,
I'm loving it, really. You know, I'm loving it. But I know the most difficult thing for me is like when I talk to you or to anyone that loves fragrance, like it's kind of normal for us. But like for someone that is outside, like sometimes I invite my friend to go to come to visit me. They look at my fragrances and they're like, why do you spend that amount of money? And I'm just like, and then I feel a bit like, okay, this is weird.
It is, isn't it? But some people that are proper, just completely not into it, they're just normal, like muggles, Chris and I sometimes call them. But like, there's a lot of people, like I remember my friend from work where I used to work, she basically wouldn't spend more than like sort of £30 or £40 on a fragrance. So I remember sort of saying that a fragrance was like £60 or £70, she's like, fuck that, I'm not paying that much. Like, it's funny, isn't it? It's sort of all relative.
No. Yeah, no, like, I mean, £40, like, what is she buying?
Well, so yeah, this is the thing. This is, like, the snobbery coming in. She quite liked, from memory, she liked a lot of the she liked some Hugo Boss ones, the female ones. I've not really spent many of the female Hugo Boss ones. So you can normally pick them up for like 30 odd, 35 quid, 40 quid maybe. Like,
yeah, so they're
not, yeah, they're not too bad. So she, I think, would sort of get those. But so again, if you were looking at like a designer release at like 70, 80 quid, she's like, fuck that, no way.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, I used to, before I kind of got into it, I've always enjoyed fragrance, but I would never spend that sort of money. I'd always get like a cheapish one for work, about 20, 25 quid, maybe like CK1 or something. And then I'd get like a nicer one, like, which normally designer, which is maybe like 40, 50, 60 pounds. And that'd be my like special fragrance for going out or whatever, going on dates. But obviously I just creeped up now. Obviously,
but that's a good strategy though. But me, I was not like that. Like, I mean, I was asking at 9 years old, Chanel number 5 to my dad, like begging.
But wasn't your mum was really into fragrance as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, like, she loved it. She had like a collection of like fragrances, and I used to sneak out and just like smell them all. Like, yeah, she loved that.
So you've basically always since childhood been into fragrance. So it's a kind of slightly different thing. So.
Even my dad had many fragrances as well. And now I'm into fragrance. Obviously he's got more, and they got both into niche, like a lot. So, it's the house of fragrance.
Aha, nice. Right. I need to kind of push on, cause we've not even done like what you've been wearing. So, Clem, do you want to, sort of tell us what fragrances you've been wearing over the last week or so, or if there's any things that you've tried recently that you want to sort of highlight and mention?
Yeah. So today I actually tried a new fragrance. This is from, So it's 702 by Bon Parfumeur. I don't know if you tried that before, but this is their new fragrances. It's incense, lavender, cashmere and root. So it nearly smells a bit churchy, but very fresh at the same time. It's really, really beautiful. I love the fragrance in general. I mean, I didn't take so many fragrances on holiday. I took a few. I took from Emerald Stairways. I took like Fig Fever as well, like a very fresh fig scent for holidays. I've been also wearing a lot Aaron Terrence Hughes Boss Bitch. I'm addicted to this thing. It's amazing. Honestly, like, I really feel the vibe whenever I'm wearing it. Like, it's mainly for my evening. It's quite strong, very opulent, luxurious smelling. But honestly, oh, it's amazing. And it's full of incense. I love that.
Do you think it goes with the name? The name suits it. Do you feel like a boss bitch wearing it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, I'm loving it. And I make a point to say it to everyone when I'm wearing it.
I love that you can sort of, because of your accent, where you can pronounce all these lovely like French like perfume houses like beautifully, and it sounds so eloquent. And then they'll be like, oh, what are you wearing today? Boss bitch.
Do you know, it's quite funny because I was seeing my grandparents last week, and she was like, oh, you smell nice. What is your fragrance? It's Boss Bitch, grandma. And she was like, what? But yeah, it's really, really nice. Other than that, I wore a lot of Acqua Allegorias as well, coconut fizz, things like that, just to refresh me. But yeah, that's it.
Quick question. What would Boss Bitch be in French? What would that translate as?
The thing is, like, there's not really a translation. It's funny because Aaron asks me for some translation sometimes, and I'm just like, mate, like, there's not really a translation, because we don't have those kind of swear word. I would say we would say the same. We said boss babe or something like that. There's not really a big translation, or it's going to be very, very rude.
Ah, fair enough. What's a female dog called? I guess the because that's where bitch comes from.
The female dog, chien.
It's a female word name, a female word, isn't it? It's got a feminine word anyway. Is it that?
Chien. Yeah, it's horrible to say that to someone. Please don't say it, Steve.
Well, that's the word anyway. What I've been wearing, we've actually a fragrance we can talk about, because we've both tried relatively recently. I've literally dropped a video about 52 minutes ago on the new Sauvage Dior Sauvage. I'm going to try and do a reasonable pronunciation. Christian Dior. How was that? Was that all right?
That's nice.
That wasn't. I tried. I really put some effort into that one. So Sauvage, the new Sauvage Elixir. I don't know how you spell it. Elixir. You've tried it as well, haven't you? The new one.
Yeah, I did.
And we discussed this briefly earlier. What are you're not a fan, in short, are you?
Well, I'm never been a fan of Sauvage at all. Like, I have to be honest, I love their fragrances in general, but Sauvage was never for me. I don't like it. I think it's too generic, and I don't like to smell it on a man. It's too invasive, and I don't like it. But the Elixir for me was a bit better, because like we discussed before, like the DNA, I could feel it, but it slightly changed. I felt it was a bit more spicier. I could feel more that lavender, quite like round the edges on the fragrance. That was really interesting, but yeah, no, just I can't.
So is it a psychosomatic thing? Is it because it's Sauvage? If that was, because a lot of people are saying that it doesn't really smell anything like the other Sauvages, so if that was Christian Dior in a different bottle with a different name, do you think you'd be more on board or more willing to give it a go? Is it like a psychological thing that you are just don't want to?
It might be, because I've got like a little problem with Sauvage since I started to review fragrance. But yeah, no, I mean, it's nice. Don't get me wrong, it's nice. But I'm just not on board.
Well, I'm the same. It's got loads and loads and loads of hype in the Facebook groups. Absolutely loads. Dave, shout out to Dave who sent me a sample. I filmed my first impressions, and basically, It's really nice. It's a really good fragrance. I think most people will really enjoy it. I urge people to go and smell it, because you might love it. But I couldn't help but be underwhelmed. Like, because it got so much hype. And I respect what they've done. They've gone in a different direction with it. And it does stand out compared to the other Sauvages. It was a lot spicier at the top than I thought, from that black pepper. I wasn't expecting that. But then that sort of licorice accord.
Yeah.
I couldn't really get on board with.
Yeah.
It sweetened up a little bit in the base, which I preferred, but I just couldn't get on with that licorice kind of vibe.
I enjoy that bit, because I think it gives a bit of deepness, richness. It's quite bold as well. So I'm like, okay. And I think it brings something different, but I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know. I know you don't listen to our podcast as regularly as some, but I spoke a few weeks ago about Sauvage, and I was on a work function where we had to stay in a hotel, and I went downstairs for breakfast, and there was two guys sitting at the table, and I went and sat down, and I was like, oh, who's wearing Sauvage? And they both went, I am. They were both wearing Sauvage. Yeah, literally. And then I went into the office a week or so later, and then another guy in there, so there was one of those guys, and another guy was in there, a different guy, and he was wearing Sauvage as well. So it basically transpired, of the sort of five territory managers, I'm one of them, three of them all wear Sauvage. So it's kind of like, oh Christ.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I was telling you by generic, like everyone just wear it, and I'm just a bit sick of it. And I think, you know, like especially nowadays, you've got so many choice of fragrances, you definitely have a lot of opportunities to express your personality differently, and that's mainly why I maybe don't like it as much. I just smell it everywhere. I can't, you know, it's too much.
Yeah, I know what you mean. A fragrance house I wanted to mention that I've tried a couple of this week is Lalique. Now, they're a French house, but you've not actually dabbled too much in Lalique, have you, sir?
Yeah.
You've tried a few, but not too many, really.
No. Like, I mean, I remember, like, trying to smell them in the store, but I can't really remember. And I think I need to dive a little bit more. I mean, the only Lalique that I have is Encre Noire Extrême, the Sport, and the Classic, which I love. I mean, good chippies, and I think really, really nicely done. But that's it, really.
Yeah, I think Lalique is a sort of, I feel like they deserve a bit more recognition, because they do have a lot of affordable fragrances. But so I basically bought one of their new releases a while ago, White in Black, which smells quite a lot like Leighton to me. But I got loads of samples with it because I bought it direct from Lalique. So I've been sort of trying those this week. There was a few women's ones, so I've given them to my wife. One of them was really expensive. It's the Plume Blanche. And that is retailing on their website for like £210. So that's not a cheapie at all. I didn't think it was necessarily... It smelled good, but I couldn't justify that price. But a couple of I've smelt from the sort of men slash unisex side of things. One was Imperial Green, which I think, again, is quite cheap. It is... I'm going to read a little bit of blurb here from the little sample thing. It says... aromatic, dreamy, elegant. Ooh. Imperial green, the softness of orange blossom, matched with the strength of patchouli. Orange blossom, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and then it just starts listing stuff. That I really enjoyed, actually. I've got to say that, yeah, that Imperial green was really nice. It's got... it's very unisex, even though it's supposedly marketed towards men. I found it a very pleasant unisex fragrance. It sort of reminds me, I wouldn't say it smells exactly like it, but it's similar to me to, I get similar vibes to like Le Labo's Bergamot 22, where it's that sort of clean, musky, sort of very, I think it's very unisex. So the official notes in it, well, I say official, I'm looking on for Grantica. Lavender, orange blossom, there's ambroxan in the base with vetiver, or vetiver, as you would say, and patchouli. I thought I'd try there. And that's, I really enjoyed it. It's a very nice, clean, if you want a, gents, if you're looking for like a very nice, clean office type fragrance, so some people sort of think that might mean boring, but I actually think this is a very nice, pleasant, very safe, super clean fragrance. I'd say give it a look. I think it's sort of relatively affordable as well. So so that was one I tried. And another one before we sort of move on, which I think is marketed as unisex, is a Glorious Indigo. That one I didn't enjoy as much. So that's got ginger, cinnamon, labdanum, precious woods, havanol, propryus, guaiac woods, black amber, and patchouli. That one I didn't... I've actually got it in my hand. It, again, very unisex, I would say. It's kind of sort of spicy...
It sounds very deep and dark from the description of it, with Gaiac wood especially.
I wouldn't say dark, but it's definitely got something to it. It's not like a light area, as opposed to the other one being quite clean, fresh office fragrance. This has definitely got something to it. It's got a bit more oomph, a bit more backbone. So it's probably one that you would enjoy. You probably enjoy this one more than the other one I mentioned, I would say.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds right to my league.
Yeah, so it's really nice, actually, but probably not my vibe. It's, I would say it's probably a bit more feminine than masculine, but it is perfectly unisex. But yeah, so a couple of there. So I feel like Lalique needs, I think like there might be a few hidden gems in there, because what I would say, both these fragrances, I was quite impressed with the quality of them as well. I think relative to the price, I think they still smell good. They don't smell like cheap, if you know what I mean.
So. Yeah, well, Lalique is a very, very big house in France. I mean, like, I was telling you, like, they are doing like artistry with glass and everything. Like, Lalique is very high luxury in France. So, like, definitely need to dive more in that for sure.
I'm pleasantly surprised. And I bought the white and black direct from them, and I got really good service. So it was like they sent like a really like a personalized note in there, and there's loads of samples in it, and it came with a lovely bag. It was just a really nice service actually that I got from them, so fair play to them. Shout out Lalique. Not sponsored. Right, the other thing that I wanted to mention, so we're getting on a little bit for time, but as much as I'm I don't want to say goodbye to you because I'm really enjoying this, but one thing that sort of going on in the world of Fragform, we sort of mentioned you're actually, it turns out that you're one of the sexiest fragrance reviewers in Fragform, apparently. I don't know how you feel about that.
I don't know.
So if anybody's wondering what I'm talking about, Mr. Smelly from the channel Mr. Smelly 1977 recently did a video. I should probably find out what the actual video is called just so I can shout it out properly.
Is that like top 10 sexiest reviewer or something like that? Female reviewer.
So let's have a look, see if I can find it. But basically, that was the premise. So the channel Mr. Smelly did a video where it was like top 10 sexiest fragrance reviewers, I think is what it was. I'm just typing away as I talk. And basically, so it was sexiest fragrance reviewers on YouTube, top 10 fragrance review video. So I think he's just put that in there just to try and help on the old algorithm. So this video is got a bit of backlash. I saw there was a bit of a backlash.
Oh, really?
A few people commented on the video, and apparently the comments were deleted. And then I'm not going to kind of start naming people, but someone sort of put a post on Instagram about it, and then Dan actually responded to the post and invited that person to go on to a YouTube live and discuss it in an open format sort of, but that person declined. They said they didn't want to do that. It's got a lot of backlash. So what that person was saying, that this video is basically quite a archaic thing. It's obviously quite chauvinistic, it's quite disrespectful, there's no need for it, it's he must be desperate for content if he's doing this sort of thing.
Oh.
Where Dan's argument was that it wasn't kind of chauvinistic or lechy. He was saying it was, he dealt it in a quite respectful way. He was, you know, describing women as, you know, intelligent, informative, confident. You know, he was using these terms to describe these, the ladies in the video, and as such that made them like sexy, and that was those were attractive traits. So you were in this video, so so how do you feel, what's your opinion on this, Clem?
Well, like I said, like at the beginning, he basically tagged me on the story, so I didn't know he was going to do a video like this, and I received that and I was like, oh, that's weird, like what? But I'm not surprised to see that from Dan, first of all, because Dan usually have some kind of like, he talks a lot about community and he does it in a nice way, never do like overly dramatic thing, you know. So I was not really scared because I knew he was going to speak in a funny, humoristic way as well. And I know that he's pretty, he use a lot of irony. So I was not really scared, and I'm always laughing about myself. So I was like, well, whatever, you know. I said to him, that's cool, you know, I didn't say much. I said, that's cool. And I had a look at the video before, I was like, that was nice. He was talking about my French accent, obviously. I think that's the only reason why I'm there. He said nice stuff about my channel, and he was talking more about my content than rather of my appearance, which was nice, and I knew he was going to do that, and I think he did pretty much the same with the other girls as well. So I think for me, overall, the title of the video is a bit clickbait because, you know, you want some views and it's normal, but the content of it is more like, it looks like more... like the female reviewer he enjoys watching more than anything else.
I would agree with that.
So I didn't you know, it didn't shock me at all. But on the other end, I completely get the reaction of some people, because some people, you know, like sometimes like they don't have the same humor, and it's fine, that would say that this is a bit sexist, even though he explained at the beginning that it's not in a sexist way, blah blah blah. It's just, as women, for us, to be on YouTube in the fragrance community is very tough because it's mainly masculine, and we have to find our place and get away from the image of the sexy girl and just people judging us by our bodies and stuff. And, you know, as a woman, you receive so many comments about our cleavage, which is, or things, whatever, you know, and it's really, really annoying because you're trying to be smart, intelligent, talk about your passion, and people are just coming here and be like, oh, you look very sexy today, which is really annoying. Well, at least for me, I don't really enjoy that. I like it as a compliment, you know, if someone said that to me, I'm like, okay, yeah, why not? But, you know, when you get just that from the video, it's a bit annoying. So I get what the people are saying, but on the video of Dan, I can't blame like anything, you know, like it was fine.
I mean, my take on it is, I mean, shout out to Dan. I'm not like, he knows exactly what he's doing with this. He knows he's going to probably sort of ruffle some feathers, and he wants that. I'm sure he was like welcoming that, and it's a bit of sort of publicity, because Dan's previously said that he quite likes getting trolled because he finds it's quite sort of fun, and it's just like, it's almost promotion as well. So Dan's not stupid. He's obviously done that, like you say, he's done it clickbaity. He's done it probably to get a reaction, which in turn sort of generates some promotion. So he's not stupid. I think, as you sort of touched upon, like, and he says on the front of the video that he's not sort of talking in a lechy way. And as I said earlier, he does all the ways he's describing the women, he's not referring to like the assets that they may have, like physically or whatever. He's talking about their talents in other ways. So it might be like their, like I say, their confidence, their knowledge, how well spoken they are, how intelligent they come across, and those are the things that make them sexy. So he does deliver it in a, you know, a respectful way. So, but what I will say, I think he's probably done it for clickbait, but that whole premise of the top, like, sexiest fragrance for you. It's really weird because it arcs back to a time, probably, I don't know when you came over to the UK, but we used to have a lot of lad mags. There was like Loaded, there was like FHM, which stood for Him magazine. There was a few others, and they were this quite laddie culture of kind of beer, and there was a few, like, there's some male grooming things in there as well. Like, there might have been a bit on fragrance, probably promoting Sauvage or something, clothes and all that sort of stuff. But there was a lot of articles on like hot women or interviewing these actresses, and they would do photo shoots wearing next to nothing. And then like FHM used to do these every year, like the 100 sexiest women in the world, and all of the readers used to vote, and then there would be like a big winner. And I remember like previous winners have been like Kelly Brook won it. I'm trying to think who else won it. There was like Jenny McCarthy, I think, might have won it one year. And so it just feels really like this whole premise just feels really dated. It's like, yeah, that, because obviously times have moved on, attitudes have moved on. So I feel though he did deliver it in a, like I say, a respectful way, it wasn't like lecherous at all, but it just feels a very dated premise. But I think Dan knows that full well. I think he's done it to get a reaction. He's not stupid. He's just playing the game, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And Dan is smart, so he knows what, like you said, like what he's doing. So that's why I'm not annoyed at all. But when I know it's definitely sure that he's going to get like bad reaction from some women, especially because some people can't get that humor, or just would stop by the title in YouTube. You know how it is. They stop by the title, they watch 1 minute of the video, and then they like go in the comments and just like run. I think, you know, for me, like, it's fine. As being part of it, I'm like, you know, it's okay. Like, he didn't talk about my boobs or my ass, you know. He talked about the fact that I've done studies in perfumery, that I'm talking about this and this, and it's nice to watch. So for me, it was like just a nice advertising with a clickbait title, which is absolutely fine. It's YouTube, so whatever. So I think it's okay, but he's very brave. I would never have done that because I knew what would be the backlash. Like, I would be scared.
Yeah, like you say, I think the video could have easily been called like my favorite female fragrance reviewers or something, because he does talk about all of the pros, like the things that the ladies are good at, like I say, that as content creators rather than their assets.
By the way, yeah, do you remember like when Jeremy Fragrance did that, like my favorite reviewers, but it upsetted a lot of people as well, because a lot of people were not in the top, so they were like, you know, a bit upset. And I feel, you know, some other women might be upset of that. I don't know. I didn't talk to anyone, but I'm like, oh, maybe.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I mean, do you think that some female fragrance reviewers use their sexuality to promote their channel or to kind of get views?
Well, I don't think we do. I think this is just us. I mean, we have a body of a woman. So if on pictures, like, we show some cleavage or stuff, this is just us. Like, we're not using it. It's just our image. So as well as a man would use his image, we're just using it. So I don't think anybody is using it, but like, if you want to show, reveal some stuff, it's up to you. I won't say that. Yeah,
I mean, I agree with you. I think at the end of the day, it's playing the cards you've been dealt. I think the only person that I would say does definitely use her sexuality, and I don't think she would be ashamed to admit it, would be Curly Fragrance, where there was one video I mentioned on this podcast once where she was talking about, and she made some comment about, oh, if you want to see more flesh, here's some photos of me in a bikini. And she literally showed a couple of snapshots from her, like, where she did some fitness modeling. So she was in a bikini, like, literally oiled up, and she was obviously showing off a muscle sort of thing for this fitness competition. And then as she came cut back to her on the edit, like, you know, talking to camera, she literally did like a guy like a wanking jizz action. So she kind of like shook her wrist as if a guy was like wanking, and they went, what? And then just like as if he jizzed. Like, literally, she did that after showing a photo of herself in a bikini oiled up. And it's like, I mean, she couldn't really complain someone comments that she's like sexy. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
But I don't think she would have any qualms with me.
I think she's just. It's a lot of humor as well. Like, you know, she's having fun.
I think she's very body confident. She's having fun. She's playing the cards she's been dealt. She's not ashamed to, you know, admit or discuss or, you know, she's obviously very proud of her body. She's in fucking hell. She's in great shape. So fair play to her. Like, but and I think she's almost a bit like the female Jeremy Fragrance in the sense that she's created this niche and this sort of almost caricature of herself, and she's just going with it and it's working and she's getting views, and I think she's playing up to it. I think she's doing what Jeremy does. She's playing up to that sort of thing that she's created, this kind of character.
I think that's I think that's very cool. I mean, like, I think it's the thing with YouTube, like, there's so many fragrance reviews. I think you need to sometime watch, you know, you want to watch a character, anything like this is fun, you know. So I think that's quite cool.
I think it is. Clem, we've gone over an hour now, or we're approaching an hour once I edit this down a bit. So I think it's time to wrap up. I mean, is there anything that you want to mention, that any fragrance chat comments, anything that you want to shout out? Is anything you've seen, or is anything you wanted to get off your chest while you've got this opportunity before we kind of wrap up?
No, not really. I mean, like, I'm really happy to be part of the pod again, even though you were not expecting me. I'm still really happy, but nothing, everything's fine for me.
Oh, it was a delightful surprise to have you join me, and thank you for helping us out. I didn't want to miss another episode, so Clem very kindly agreed to do this. And we got such great feedback from your last appearance that I thought I wanted to get you back, and we always have a laugh and stuff, so I knew it'd be really good. So by all means, if you're listening to this, go into the Facebook group, the St Geeks Podcast Facebook group, show some love for Clemence, and thank her, and tell her that you want her to come back. So, and then when I'm away, that you can partner up with Chris instead. So other than that, shout out again to our sponsors, Kajal Perfumes. Go and check them out. Don't forget to enter the competition, which you can do through the Kajal Instagram page. Go and find the post that references the Scent Geeks. There's a Scent Geeks specific post, and you need to share that, comment and share that, and then you'll get entered into the draw. Other than that, thank you for listening. Thanks again to Clem. Please keep sending in your Kofis, your questions, and your fragrance fails and scent stories. We love all of that stuff. And yeah, hopefully, if he's not gallivanting around the country somewhere, Chris might be back next week. Thanks again, everybody, and we will see you same time, same place next week. Have a week, geeks.